Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins and Walt Silva, produced by Colleen Kelly of Haggy Shack Radio, simulcasted over Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It is October 16th, 2018. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva, my co-host. And hi, Walt. We're a little late, but what happened was that Dreamland had a minute and 16 minutes and 32 seconds, and there was nothing matching up in Unknown Country with that time frame. And I just didn't feel like doing a, you know, covering 45 minutes or so. But I had run into, I was doing, putting together shows for the voices on Monday, you know, other people's voices, other shows that we do. And I came across this guy whose face was very familiar. Maybe I've seen him on Ancient Aliens or something. But his name is Reverend Lionel Thanthorpe. Oh, my heavens. He was so interesting, Walt. And he was with Kevin Moore, who I happen to like a lot. And it just so happens I found another Kevin Moore back from 13, but with Lionel again. And so I let it run a little longer. It was like a little over, I think it was 6 minutes longer. So that's what happened. But I hope people did listen to him and that they, well, he's my age, he's 70. And he just... He's had an interesting life in that he is a religious man, is a reverend, but he's also written like 20-some books on anything from UFO to time travel. And he's got one of those voices that is so full of just authority and humor. I mean, I bet he played Santa Claus when he was younger. You know what I'm saying?
So he sounds like a Roman orator?
Yeah, he's really fun to listen to, and he gets into some really deep thinking. And what I love about him is it's just like, it's kind of like, well, let's look at it this way. You know, and all of a sudden he twists your mind around to look at it, and you're going, oh my heavens, you know, yeah. He's very good, very good. I highly recommend him. Lionel, what did I tell you his name was? Jeez.
Remember Lionel.
I know. I keep remembering Lionel. Thanthorpe. Lionel Thanthorpe. So, anyway.
You say Fanford or Stanford?
Thanthorpe. Thorpe.
Like D with Daniel? D-A-N?
Fan is in fan. F-A-N. Thorpe.
Oh, fan. T. Fan like F like Frank. Okay.
Yeah. Thanthorpe.
Fanthorpe.
Yeah. Okay. Thanthorpe.
With a K at the end?
No, Thorpe. T-H-O-R-P-E. Thorpe. Thanthorpe. Just remember, okay. Lionel. Reverend Lionel.
Yeah, it'll be easier than this last time.
Well, I have a hard time remembering it. I've been working with it for a couple of days, and it still looks like, what was it again? Anyway, hi, how are you? We had a nice little show this morning on the Shungite show, but I had to...
It sounded more like an emergency show, right? No, but I didn't know it was supposed to be today.
No, we had talked about this, I don't know, top of the week or something. But I had been really, well, I best guess most people would say sick. I didn't think I was sick. I just felt terrible. And it was like, it started Wednesday, and I suddenly started feeling really achy, like, you know, I'd been, fell down some stairs or something. And then I was started to get really, I couldn't stay awake. And I'm fighting this incredible fatigue and this achiness, and then I had chills for a little bit, and it kept going on day after day until yesterday I started feeling better, and I'm talking to Jean Rockefeller, and I said, oh, my God. And she says, oh, that's dragon energy. And I said, what? And she said, same thing happened to me. She had done a grounding of dragon energy at the end of October. And she sent me the tapes of what she had done. She said, don't, this is not public, but I want you to. And it was really an impressive, impressive presentation she made. She did it at the farm with Jack and the other horses. And she had, I don't know how many people there, but I think there was like close to a dozen people that had come.
So it was a ceremony type deal?
No, it was mostly just experiencing the watchers and Gene talking people through different sessions. It was more like a workshop.
Oh, I see.
And it started Friday night and then went through on Sunday. They left, you know. But so I listened to this, and I mean, first off, I've never heard Gene really doing what she does like that. And she was very impressive. But there was also a tremendous amount of grounding. I've never heard somebody doing a very intense metaphysical, energetic exercise and keep it so grounded. It was very interesting to me. But and I was impressed with the energies, and it was all dragon energy. And but then, you know, I go into this crazy thing of my body, and I kept thinking, well, it kind of feels like energy, but energy work never goes this long. But did I get into something that I should, you know, what I eat? And it's, man, that nothing was making sense to me until she said that. And then later on, and I kept feeling better and better. And so later on in the night, I'm like, I could feel the energy. It had like integrated into my body. I knew by yesterday when I started feeling better, no, this was energy. Now what am I feeling? And I did know that I had some kind of an upgrade to my system. But dragon energy. So I got the dragon energy in me. I don't exactly know what to do with it, but I got to tell you, it's really awesome. Anyway, she's going to share this somehow. She's, because it's so important, I think, for everybody to kind of experience this. And it took me back to the Antarctic when I did that remote and ended up seeing the old dragon, you know, pacing back and forth like he was really concerned and worried, and you know, when he saw me, he pointed at me and he went, "You," and threw me out of the remote. But as I'm leaving the remote, I'm hearing they've got to see the dragons. And so I'm like, what does that mean? They've got to see the dragons. Who's got to see the dragons? And I kind of interpreted it that the people out there, they've got to be able to visually see the dragons again, because we know they're there. They're just etheric, can't see them. And
now the entity you saw, was it being held captive against its will?
No. He was down in the Antarctic. Apparently he lives down there. They know about him. I mean, you know, it's part of, there's a tremendous, it's like a united, galactic United Nations down in Antarctic. Because remember, Antarctic is a huge, huge place.
Yes.
And they don't really know. I mean,
I think it's half as large as Africa.
Yeah, it's huge. So where they're digging, they're finding stuff, but there's stuff that's down there they don't even know about yet. You know, and I think that's what I stumbled into.
Well, isn't the ice cap like a few miles thick? So by the time you get through it, but by the time you hit dirt, it'll be some time.
Well, they're actually having problems there because you know how they're doing the.
We lost Nancy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself. I don't know why. I just did it. Finger flexing. You know. No, and they're using steam to dig. Essentially, they're melting the ice. And what's happening is that all this water that's being created is causing a lot of problems now, because it's running down and it's causing, you know, like caverns and craters and stuff in the ice. And there's areas where it's collapsing, I heard.
Yeah, it's got to go someplace.
Yeah, human beings are not the most intelligent people in the universe. Don't say I said it, but I mean. We're very powerful.
What happens if I do this? Or what happens if I do this?
We're very powerful.
I don't know. Let's try it.
Oh, yeah. But I came to the conclusion that what he meant was that somehow or another, and I wasn't even sure how, but somehow or another, the people that are not aware need to see the dragon energy in us. If we can integrate the magical potential of dragon energy, you know, you can't lie to a dragon. Dragons work with all sorts of etheric. I mean, they're just mystical. Cripe, they fly. You know, if we can integrate that kind of energy into ourselves and become more, it's not an ego thing. It's not a better thing. It's a more solid thing. It's like a cohesiveness that a dragon has that I don't feel that I do. For instance, well, until I got this dragon energy in me, maybe I am now. But very focused. Dragon energy can get you very focused, very energetic. You know, like let's just do this. And
well, you can't help it because you're a projector. That's the projector aura is focused. It's like a laser beam. So that you already had that from birth.
Oh. Well. Yeah. I do get more focus than most. Actually, some people think I get a little bit, what do they call it? My fervor or something.
Is that when George raises his head?
Sometimes. He hasn't been around for a while. I told you that the turtle I got from my sister Heidi, I was listening to a turtle show that we'd done with Dottie or somebody, and they all got names for their turtles, and I looked at this turtle. I said, "What's your name?" And it said, "George." And I didn't even make the patent connection with it, right? I just, "Oh, George." Oh, I said, "That's a very odd name for a turtle." And it wasn't later on I went, "Oh, come on. Now that's just..."
Well, fortunately, he won't be able to drown this one. You know?
Well, probably not. Probably not. Anyway, so what do we got today? Do we have some Fulford?
Yes, we do.
I need you to send Jean either copies that you have of that. I've been promising her. For some reason, she's gotten interested in what Fulford's saying, and I told her, I said, "Gina, no, he does sometimes toss us disinformation, but it's disinformation that gives us information." And she's.
Well, and he says things that 1 or 2 months down the road, you see it either showing up in some news or a confirmation of some action that's manifesting, and he had been the one to say it. He was the first one to
absolutely
talk about that. So I can't say the man has a terrible record.
I just wanted her not to take everything he says, because if you're not, we get people that yell at us because we're listening to Ben Fulford, you know, and we do this part of the show about Ben. They yell, And well, if you're not really following Ben and following what he's saying, yeah, he says some weird things, but they either show us, because it's a little disinformation, where they're going, and then we see the correction later on, or he flat out tells you something you're not going to know for a few weeks.
And also, I find them to be not correct, but I mean fair in the sense that even he says, I'm giving you this information, I haven't confirmed it, as opposed to other presenters that whatever comes out of their mouth is sheer gospel because my insider told me this and my whistleblower told me this and they put it on like it's the word of God and, well, it's coming from another human being and human beings are fallible and they have lived their little personal agendas, so take it with a grain of salt. So to me, at least, Fulford is being fair, that he says this person gave me this. I'm leaving it to you to use your discernment. If not, you know, it is what it is. I'm even, he's writing and he's showing it and he's questioning it himself because he has not been able to confirm it. He has not been able to cross-reference with some other source. So that to me is fair writing. You know, he's not saying, oh, this was given to me at the Holy Mount by the fiery pillar of Jehovah and whatnot. So that's my two cents. Okay, let's bring that page up. Are you still there? Or
I was just checking the station, make sure we were on. Yeah, we're on.
Okay, so the title of this report is The Fall of the Zionist House of Saud Plus Possible Coup Attempt in Russia. And that, to me, that sounds plausible because since Russia is a thorn on the side of the cabal, it makes sense that they would try to pull this shit, and fortunately they failed. So here we go. As always, stop me if you have something to add. World events are quickly coming to a head. With a major move against the House of Saud and a possible coup attempt this weekend against Russian President Vladimir Putin, says Pentagon, CIA, and FSB sources. First, the murder, or in parentheses he puts, or PSYOP's stage murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi is part of a move to remove Zionist/Satanic House of Saud from control of Saudi Arabia and Middle Eastern oil, according to Pentagon and CIA sources. The operation is also aimed at grabbing funds to keep the bankrupt U.S. afloat, CIA sources said. This is how the CIA summed up the situation. So following, we have a paragraph all in quotes. The U.S. Treasury is holding between 3 to 5 trillion of Saudi Arabia's petrodollars, which have been accumulating since the 70s, when this whole petrodollar sleight of hand began, around the same time that Nixon closed the gold window. These trillions have been confiscated and will not be returned. The same for the thousands of tons of gold stored in Credit Suisse and UBS banks in Switzerland, which was owned by Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud, and has been confiscated as well. It is game over financially for the Zionist Khazarian House of Saud. This really is game, set, match. Close quotes. And he continues, it is also no coincidence the Khashoggi incident happened just as the head of the CIA in Turkey, Pastor Andrew Brunson, was released from Turkish prison. The long-term scenario will be for Turkey to resume control of its former holdings in Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, while Israel becomes a Jewish autonomous zone under Turkish protection, the sources say. As a preliminary step, Saudi clown prince, instead of crown, he puts Saudi clown prince Mohammed bin Salman, and he's using the letters MBS to represent this prince, may be purged, as Saudi Arabia is facing Western sanctions and boycotts in a dry run for an attack on Israel when 9/11 documents are declassified, Pentagon sources add. We will discuss this further below, but as this newsletter was about to be published, we got urgent communications from FSB sources about an attempted coup this weekend against Russian President Vladimir Putin. According to the sources, a big move against the autonomous Donbass region of the Ukraine by Rothschild forces led to a huge dispute inside the Russian general staff with Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu, backing former FSB head and secretary of the Security Council of Russia, Nikolai Patrushev, as the new Russian leader, the sources say. However, Putin was evacuated from Moscow, supported by three patriotic generals, and the coup was averted with the help of Russian special forces, the sources say. This preliminary intelligence may be linked to the following report from CIA sources, claiming that various world leaders have been called to Russia for a meeting with Putin, but no one came from the USA. they were not allowed any representation whatsoever. What is Putin planning with the rest of the world leaders? The reported coup attempt coincides with a sudden upsurge of fighting in eastern Ukraine, as reported by multiple regional news outlets. And he gives two links for that. The Russian sources say a landing by 5,000 troops along the border of the eastern Ukraine and Russia was repelled. The fighting in the Ukraine was part of an attempt to provoke a NATO attack on Russia to distract Russian attention from the coup attempt. We have contacted White Dragon Society FSB sources for further confirmation, but none has been received as this newsletter went public. We will provide emergency updates as required. In any case, the Rothschilds may have tried to overthrow Putin as a result of the dire situation facing their slave colony, Israel. Here, Satan-worshipping Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is under attack on multiple fronts. His wife, Sarah Netanyahu, began her criminal trial on charges of fraud on Sunday. Benjamin Netanyahu has been questioned by police 12 times related to various fraud investigations and is expected to be arrested soon, Mossad sources say. And I will copy this and offer it if anyone in the audience wants to read it later on. There's the link to that. Furthermore, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, resigned because of the corruption charges that she herself will be charged with for her part in Benjamin and Sarah Netanyahu's fraud cases, CIA sources say. It seems she will be charged very soon with corruption for diverting 20 million U.S. aid funds that were earmarked for helping the Palestinian people. We both know that USA is a CIA front organization, they say. This is how Pentagon sources summed up the situation. The purge begins with Israeli stooge Nikki Haley being booted off the UN, whose departure is long overdue, while her preferred replacement globalist Golda Meir, Dina Powell, is rejected. The Russian troops using electronic warfare in Syria have also shut down all Israeli Air Force activities, as reported by the Mossad-linked site Debka. This may have something to do with the grounding of an entire U.S. fleet of F-35 fighters worldwide. Let me copy this. And that's the link for that. This may also be why the reported coup attempt was engineered against Russia in a last-ditch effort to save the satanic government of Israel. However, this last gasp attempt by the Zionist Satanists to start World War III will not be allowed to succeed, Russian, U.S., and Chinese military sources all say. Getting back to the Saudi situation, we know from our CIA sources that MBS, that's the prince, was installed in power by Israeli special forces. There is also a strong possibility he was killed last April when gunfire was reported in his palace. Last week, for example, Bloomberg News published what they claim was an exclusive interview with him, but the person shown as MBS bears little resemblance to the one seen in public before April. We also note that the possibly murdered journalist Jamal Khashoggi was a nephew or cousin, depending on the source, maybe both, given Saudi kin relations, of arms dealer of Iran-Contra fame. Remember Adnan Khashoggi? He was involved in the Iran-Contra. Adnan Khashoggi once sent a honey trap to this writer. To give him credit, it was the most beautiful honey trap ever sent my way. While I avoided the honey and thus the trap, she did give me a book in French from Khashoggi that claimed Jews actually originated in Egypt. In other words, he appeared to be trying to warn me they were none other than the Set, and in parentheses, Satan, Baal, Moloch, worshipping Hyksos. Japanese sources also informed the U.S. last week their research has shown that people that calling themselves Jews were divided into Satan-worshipping and Jehovah-worshipping factions. This brings us back to last week's report from various sources of Hillary Clinton and other members of the U.S. elite carrying out gruesome satanic sacrifices and ritual. Please recall that the Ark of Baal was on display in Washington, D.C., as the fight to install Supreme Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh was reaching its climax. Jonathan Kahn, author of the book The Paradigm, has pointed out that Baal was a god of power, fertility, and child sacrifice, according to this website and many other sources. The same Ark of Baal has been on display in front of various gatherings of globalists, including a world government summit in 2017. It may be just a coincidence, but last week the globalist World Bank and IMF held their annual summit meeting in Bali, Indonesia. The island was struck by an earthquake. As a CIA source commented, "There are no coincidences in my world." Even if the earthquake was just a coincidence, like the lightning that struck the Vatican as Pope Francis was being selected, there can be no doubt that the good guys are winning. On this front, Pentagon sources wish to share the following two pictures of Melania Trump. Let me grab this so we can show the people. Okay, so here's the first picture. Okay. And here is the second picture. So this is what he says about these photos. On this front, our Pentagon sources wish to share the following two pictures of Melania Trump with our readers with the following explanation. It may be Red October, but Melania wears white hats in Kenya and Egypt. She wears a white pith helmet in Kenya to warn China about its colonial ambitions for Africa, and a white fedora in front of the pyramid to declare war on the cabal. As usual, there is a lot we cannot report yet to protect our operations, but rest assured that evil has been systematically removed from this planet. And that's what he wrote. Are you?
Yeah, I am. I was just looking at those pictures. I mean, actually, this presentation, I had nothing to say because it all sounded a lot really kind of squirrely. Okay, so they've attacked. They tried to take down Putin by using 5,000 troops. Where did they get these troops? Who are these troops? Is it Ukraine?
They must still have mercenaries on their payroll, because they're pulling all the stops. So I'm sure they're not shy about spending whatever money they got.
Well, you know, there's an interesting, you know how there's all these people out there that tell you something, this source and that source, and you know, I got one of the most cryptic messages I've ever gotten from anybody, Bill Brockbrader. Early in the game, when he actually wrote the foreword for my book A Cosmic Reality, and he sends me this weird handwritten. Well, it was always handwritten from him, the letters I got from him, but it was handwritten, but it was written on the back of a page of text, you know, and. I'm reading what he's writing, and I'm going like, this is not what I'm supposed to be reading. And so I turn over the text, and I'm looking at the text, and I don't even remember, I've got it here someplace, but it was from some kind of a conspiratorial type of website, you know? But it was this particular.
So it was a printout?
Yeah, it was a printout of like information that was on some website, if I'm remembering it correctly. But he had used it like he's writing me a letter on the other side of it, right? And mm-hmm. So I start to really read what's being said there. And what it was that it was an expose, very cryptic itself, of the fact that there was a very powerful army associated with the Zionist Israel. I don't even know what to call them. Community, let's say. That it was a, you know, soldiers for hire type of thing. Mercenaries. But very, very professional mercenaries. And well paid. And, you know, and then Bill starts sending me these. Do you understand? I mean, he must have said to me telepathically, do you understand? 50, 60 times I kept getting it, you know, and I'm going, yes, I understand, but what the hell do you want me to do about it? You know, I mean, he was trying to warn me and to get me to look at this particular, because, you know, I mean, I was doing research and putting it out there that he couldn't do. And yet I'm going like, this is beyond my pay grade, you know. I'm not going to take on this group. So if my question here is, you know, where did they get these 5,000? And as soon as I started saying it, I saw that page in front of my head. You know, I'm looking at it again, and this little blurpy thing that's talking about, you know, this mercenary group. So, based on intuition, based on the fact that we've been talking, listening to Fulford for a very long time, based on the fact that I'm rather crazy and a fiction writer, and that we only do this particular show for entertainment purposes only, I suspect it was a damn trap by the Russians to bring that group in there so they could take care of them.
A trap by the... you mean forcing them to make an appearance, the surface?
Yeah. Come on, come after us. You know, draw them in. Draw them out of the...
make them show their hand. That's what
exactly.
You would say in the military.
Exactly. And that they did. I mean, you know, that sounds so much like the Bay of Pigs incident. You know, where...
how did that... that's before my... I mean, I was just a little kid when that happened. What, can you give us a little blurb of how that played out?
Yeah, well, okay, Kennedy comes into the White House, and he's, you know, a newbie. And the next thing he knows is that he's being presented a scenario that had been approved by... Who the hell was before him? Eisenhower. Yeah, Eisenhower. No, who the hell was the president before John Kennedy? Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. Anyway,
not Johnson, was it?
No, Johnson was hit, went after Kennedy.
Oh.
And it wasn't Nixon. Nixon wasn't president then. He lost John. Who the hell was it? Was it Eisenhower? Maybe. But it had been already approved that there was going to be an attack on Cuba. And so they put together this mercenary army of... They'll tell you, the history books will tell you that they were all...
Yeah, Dwight D. Eisenhower served as president of the United States before John F. Kennedy.
Okay, that it just didn't seem right to me.
He was elected in 52 and was reelected in 1956.
Yeah, yeah. It just seemed like... It's an age thing in my head. But what happened was that this mercenary army was not just full of Cuban nationalists wanting to take the country back from Castro. It was a mercenary army. All right? But it was had a lot of these Cubans in it. And so it was set up that the U.S. was going to train them. They did. They trained them here in the Everglades, actually. A lot of the training happened right here, not very far from where I am now. And that John got presented this as a, you know, this has already been planned. You got to sign off on it. And so
there's not even an option to say yes or no.
Well, there probably was, but he's so new at it, he really doesn't know what the hell is happening. And, you know, so the bottom line is he did sign off on it. And it turned out to be the biggest blunder of his presidency. But it happened, like I say, very shortly after he became president. So they attack, and the Cubans that were defending the island, just, it was not even a battle. And because, well, there is a lot of, and I don't know if I'm not remembering it correctly or that I didn't have enough information to make me committed to it, but it does seem like there was, John didn't allow the U.S. military to get involved in it, which was part of the game. Oh, and we'll come in and we'll support you, you know? Oh yeah, well, if you've trained them, you send them in there and let them do their thing, but I ain't gonna put U.S. troops on that.
But this is, since you were a history major, I'm sure you can correct me, but this is sounding eerily similar to the White Russian incident when U.S. forces actually did invade Russia in support of the White Russians. That's why the Russians are so suspicious of America. The U.S. territories have never been invaded by Russians, but Russia was invaded by America one time. It's just that nobody seems to remember, or it was carefully put in some corner of a history book someplace. This is beginning to sound like that.
Walter, I'm not sure that there's a country standing that hasn't been invaded by the United States. In one form or another.
Yes, thank you for correcting me on that one.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so they failed. It was miserable. But it really, again, when I looked at it, you know, I looked at it again and I'm going like, no, the Cuban thing, this almost looked like a trap. It was like, because what happened was that by this attack, the antagonism between the United States and Cuba blew up incredibly. I mean, at the time that this happened, you had the U.S. Mafia and Cuba were very close in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I remember there were, I think, the casinos in Cuba were financed by the Mafia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this was all the guy that Castro threw out, okay? And the Mafia was pretty pissed about this. They got thrown out when Batista's group got thrown out. Oh. And so there was this weird mafia hatred of the Cuban situation, of Castro, compiled by all these people that thought that there was a, Dolly just sent me a message and it clouded my head. Okay, I'm back in Cuba. I'm Cuba. Okay, so when the mafia got thrown out of there, there was a lot of hatred by the mafia and a lot of kind of power tripping trying to get back in there. You know, and so it's like nothing about that sounded or felt like a game that was being directed by the military. It felt like it was just a rogue group of people, and it turns out it was a CIA operation.
That's the biggest rogue group there is.
There wasn't any kind of a, you know, U.S. military presence per se. And in this Russian situation, and you know, you've got the same sort of thing. It's like all of a sudden you've got a group of people, trained militia, wherever they came from, that have somebody organizing them to do what? You know, to go after Putin in a weird, you know, again, it's you went after Castro with this weird Bay of Pigs thing, now you're going after Putin with this attack, you know. And in both cases, it caused the American CIA to show their hands. I mean, they lost this incredible mercenary group. You know, they're all in jail in Cuba. And there, you know, well, if Putin escaped, I don't think, maybe, are these people still running around? Are the 5,000 still running around? Or were they summarily surrounded, captured, and maybe died? You know, mm-hmm. that to me would be the indicator of who was trapping who. What kind of game were we playing there? But that, to get 5,000 people, I mean, I'm not up on my military knowledge of what Russia's doing right now, what they've got capable of. But it's, I would really like to see more of that database. Somehow I'll get a hold of some, because that's very interesting to me. Only because, Walt, that as you're telling the story, I started remembering seeing that thing from Bill. And, you know, it doesn't seem rational that that story would bring up that picture in my head. But those are the ways that I get the signals that look at this from this standpoint. And I'd like to know, you know, was this part of the...
Well, I like to remind you that you were a military strategist. This to me sounds like whatever strategy book or handbook or manual these guys are using, it hasn't been refreshed or revised in decades. They just keep using the same,
always,
same strategies.
Always. Well,
maybe you should teach them how it's done, right?
Well, no, because somebody that is really good at changing strategy in this world, not in, you know, in Patton's world, but in this world, they get derailed from getting any power.
Yeah. You know, too dangerous.
Very. Well, when I came up the ranks, and I was a female, first off, and I was in, you know, something that most of them didn't understand, which was electronic warfare. And I don't even know why, but somebody wanted something, and I ended up looking at the situation with the missile systems that would, the ground-based missile system, the anti-air missile system that would protect American planes, and troops against Soviet planes. And I discovered that because I'm operating like I'm a Russian trying to figure out how to take out the Americans, and I realized that their radar systems, when they would set up base, they would set up their radar systems, and as soon as they turned on the radar system, I as the Russian could capture that signal. Then, because I'm so good at what I do, I know that that particular look to that particular frequency is a TPS-25 that you find with a Nike Herc missile system. And if I've got that and I take a triangulation and I got it on the battlefield, I know exactly where that radar is, and I know that they always put this particular radar, you know, 250 feet from their missiles. And so I would take my missiles.
You can triangulate your target.
Based on the radar, and I would take my missiles and I would tell them to fire on that geographic point. And so the bottom line was that that we had no air defense, and that it was a very dangerous situation. So I send this thing up to whoever wanted to have it, and they all freaked out. And the next thing I know, they've brought in an entire think tank, spent the, I don't know, $100,000 or something for this think tank to confirm or, you know, get rid of my database. And so then the think tank started working with me, and they go, they had to make a, and now we got a professional briefing thing. I mean, I had to brief the generals this, but they didn't believe me. So now we've got all this money's been spent out, and these guys come in and they get in front of the same generals, and the generals are really hoping that I'm wrong, and they get up there and they put up their presentation, and they had their interpretation was it was even worse than I had said.
Wow.
And
you were an embarrassment, weren't you?
Oh, I caused a lot of people a lot of problems, because the next thing I know, me and this think tank, these think tank guys, we're being called to the Air Defense Command, and that was in El Paso, I think. Yeah, El Paso. Fort Bliss. Oh, that's Texas. No, I think it was, I don't know what the post is, but don't remember. But anyway, I got to get called out there, and we're supposed to give a briefing to the Air Defense Command to their vulnerabilities in electronic warfare because of the radars. And so I get there, and we get picked up by this guy. He was some captain. I don't know what his job was now, but he was supposed to pick us up and bring us back to talk to the general. And so as we're walking in, you know, following him, and all of a sudden he saluted this guy, a civilian, but he saluted this civilian. And then he goes another 20 steps or so, and then he stops. He goes, I don't know what this is about. He said, that's the general that you're supposed to be talking to. And it turned out that even before we presented our briefing to that command, the general had been called back to Washington, D.C. to go before some kind of a congressional committee to explain this report they had got, that they, you know, that I, my report, that was then sent to these think tanks. I mean, it wasn't my report, it was a think tank's report. So, how did we get in on that subject? Oh, no, it was...
Well, because we were talking about...
Oh, because they always do...
Fulford has 5,000 troops.
Yes, and they always do the same thing over and over again. You know, it's like, what happened to me? Well, they didn't trust me. They didn't want me there. You know, it gets into such a weird thing. But if you got young people or people that are thinking outside of the box, it's very dangerous in the military community. Because was I seeing something that was hidden? No, it was out in the open. But they get so locked in the way that they think, that they only do it the way they were shown how to do it.
Wow.
And, you know, so people that are saying, well, we can think another way, oh, they don't like people like that.
That sounds like a line from Forbidden Planet said by the actor Walter Pigeon. Did you ever see that? That's like an old sci-fi classic with Leslie Nielsen and Anne Francis. Did you ever see that, Forbidden Planet?
Yeah, I think I did, but I certainly wouldn't remember a quote out of it, Walter.
Well, when the captain, Leslie Nielsen, goes down to visit Dr. Morpheus's installation there on the planet, and he's accompanied by the ship's doctor, and they, at one point, Walter Pigeon is having the men sit in front of a console that has like three metal arms. And the metal arms, they have like these luminous tiny orbs on the end of each arm. And the arms come in and they touch you in the center of the forehead and the temples. So it's touching your head in three different points. So as soon as you do that, there's this huge floating thing, like a column, something encased in a crystal column. And it begins to float up. And it flows up to a certain distance, and he's explaining to them that this was a training center, and the youths would come in and sit here. He says, but their IQ was such that they would make this floater go all the way up to the ceiling. And this is like a huge, you know, the scale of the entire thing is just humongous. So he tells the gentleman, care to try it out? So the doctor sits, and he lets the three arms touch his head, and it goes up. The floater goes up, not as high as Dr. Morpheus, but it comes up. And then, last but not least, Leslie Nielsen, the captain, sits down and he puts the device to his head. And the floater barely came up off the ground. And they're looking at each other saying, does this mean that the captain is not that smart? And Dr. Morpheus breaks the silence and he goes, oh, don't worry, Captain, you're a military. You don't need brains, just a loud voice.
That's not that funny for how long it took you to tell it.
Sorry.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of sorry, did you see that Derek went on Mona's show?
Nope.
I couldn't believe that. we finished with Derek on the Sunshine Show, the Shun Guide Show, and I'm going to play Mona, right? And so I get it connected, and it's supposed to be relaying, but then all I'm getting is silence. So now I go over and I'm get Freedom Slips, and I'm listening, and she's trying to get somebody up, and and it's like, oh my God, Mona, what is happening? And then all of a sudden, I hear Derek talking. He never mentioned once on our show that he was going to be on Mona's show.
Oh,
you know. Okay. So then I had to start taping it, because a lot of times I don't tape her show, but then I had to start taping it, and oh my gosh, those two, I think they had too much coffee or something. They were just, it was a fun show. It was a fun show.
Well, you have Audacity, and you can use that to slow it down so that it's more intelligible.
Oh no, it was intelligible. It's just that they were just going from you know how Mona will go from subject to subject, and Derek goes right with her. You know, Derek's like you. There's hardly any subject that I've broached with him that he didn't have some knowledge of. You're like that. I had no clue that there's, you
well, it's
know
your
everything.
Fault. You keep asking about stuff I know.
I know. Yeah. But you seem to know everything.
It's got nothing to do with me.
So, Ben. What's your take on the world? I mean, have we gone through the Third World War and we're really on our way to a mop-up situation?
Well, what should have happened so very long ago is what's finally happened, the stuff that's coming to the surface. You know, a lot of people argue, you look at the news of the world and things keep getting worse and worse and worse. No, things are not getting worse. What happened is that before this time, you were living in a nice, fluffy, pink cloud of obliviousness where you didn't actually know the world that you were living in. That you did not know that thousands of children are kidnapped and used in slavery or their sacrifice for their meat and blood. You lived in a world where, you know, you grew up with the belief that the government will take care of you no matter what, considering that the government is a private corporation. So no, it's not that the world is getting worse. It's that what should have been common knowledge is coming to the surface. And that's the way you create a new world. Remember what I've said is that you don't need to fix the old system because it's working perfectly. Well, if you're going to root out the old system to put something in place that's fair to everyone and non-destructive, non-evil, then we have to know what's there. I mean, if you are going through life, let's bring it down to the individual level. How does a human being is able to achieve any kind of change in themselves and their lives? It's like, what is the first thing that is asked of you at Alcoholics Anonymous? You have to admit that you have a problem. If you drink a gallon of whiskey a day and you think, I can stop whenever I want, well, you will never change that. That part of your life will never change, and you will continue to be an alcoholic because you're not aware that you have a problem. But once you are aware, that's when you can begin working on yourself and making the change that you want in your life. Well, that's at the individual level. Now we're witnessing it at the collective level. If 90% of the population or more are going through life thinking that everything's perfect and my life is perfect and I have a job and I have a house and I have a wife and I have kids and I have a dog, and why would you change anything at all if your life is perfect? But if you get woken up from that fluffy pink cloud dream and know your children are at risk from being kidnapped, they're at risk from all the out of control EMF, and you know one of the chains in the source of food, which is pollinators, are beginning to go extinct, then you can change it. So on the surface it looks, look how horrible life is, look, the world is getting worse and worse. No, you're waking up. See these things. Become aware of them. Acknowledge that they exist. That's the only way you're going to be able to change them, because you're going to wake up. I remember how long was ago was this? This must have been 2013, because I was still working at the corporation when I heard Andrew Bartzis, the galactic historian, speak of a group that exists. They're called themselves the Silver Legion. It's not a group that you can go and join, knock on their door and become a member of their club. It doesn't work that way. It's a group of people that specifically work in the astral plane. For you to be able to offer them any kind of help, you have to be one of those folks that can astral project, because that's their playing field, their playing ground. And the spokesperson for this group is a Canadian woman. And she doesn't use her civilian name. She uses her whatever her spiritual name is, or if she, I don't know if she's incarnated from another planet, but she presents herself as Tanath of the Silver Legion. It's T-A-N-A-T-H. She will do these things on the radio, reporting on astral campaigns that they had done to defeat certain things, disable certain things. One time I remember hearing a recording. She did a show when she was being interviewed by this teenage girl who hosts a radio show out of Las Vegas. I don't know if the girl has an actual radio studio, but she's the one doing the hosting, and Tanath was a guest. And Tanath was wanting to say something important about your consciousness and aware of certain things. And every time she would get to that point, they would cut off the transmission. And it happened 3 times. So Tanath finally ended up giving up, and she actually posted it to her website. You can do a search for Silver Legion and it'll take you to the website. So she posted as a text, how important was the focus of consciousness in the creation of your reality, where your focus goes. So that she's one of the people talking about this. And the reason I'm introducing the description of this lady is because among the many things, when I would listen to the recorded shows or read the transcript of certain shows, at one point she explained that her group had recently, she says, we're getting help from out of the solar system. And the interviewer was saying, what do you mean getting help out of the solar system? And she says, yes, we were recently involved in a campaign to help a group that was another planet that was experiencing the same thing as Earth, the same level of cabal slavery. But she says these people were able to get out from under fairly quickly. And the host is asking, what do you mean? What did they do that was different? They were able to get out from under very quickly because the control was very blatant. It was right there in their face. There was no conspiracy theorist. It's there. Your slave masters are right there controlling your life every day. So everyone was aware. Okay, here are the bad guys. Here's a target we have to defeat. And they were defeated. So a lot of the people that were helped, he says, now they're coming in to join us in the astral plane to help us with our campaigns. So that's the point I'm trying to make with this whole long story, is how critical is awareness. You cannot change something or get out from a slavery if you're not aware that you're living a slave. I mean, you open the cage on a canary bird that has been born inside the cage, and the poor little thing gets terrified. He's never been outside the cage. He's not aware that the cage is a bad thing at all. That's his life, his reality. That's what people are waking up from it. Is it nice? Of course it's not nice. You're just discovering you've been a slave for centuries. But that's how you get to change.
Oh, I know. Admit it, you're a... And, you know, I mean, we've taken, in some cases, you know, decades to see these types of situations and to at least get them a little bit at a time, not like, you know, sit down, I'm going to tell you a nightmare. And you're living it, the Matrix, and more. How scary it's got to be for a lot of these people that just, you know, never became aware. And I'm not sure there's not some kind of a mind program going on behind it because of the way that certain people are. I mean, these people that hate Trump, like, I mean, my God, what has he done to you? you know. And it doesn't make any sense to people that are sort of, you know, sane. Are we not getting the download that the Trump is supposed to trigger something in us that makes us go a little insane?
I didn't get a chance to see the full video that you posted on those protesters, but of course they're paid off. They're paid off. Protesters like that, they're a dime a dozen, and you've seen the Dolly was kind enough to post a sample of this, a Craigslist ad of somebody enlisting people to work against. So you're not doing it because you hate Trump. You're doing it because you're getting a paycheck.
Not necessarily, because I mean, I've got friends and family that have this same visceral reaction, you know, and this crowd, I actually am going to, I think it would be better if you could see the people's faces, but maybe not. So I'm going to play, I took an audio recording of it, and I'm going to play that. So, you know, after the break, so that people can, because it was one of the most profound and funny situations I've ever seen happen. So we'll take a break here, and I'll find that. Wonder where I put that. Oh dear, maybe I'll find it. Okay, yes, I'll find it. All right, so we'll be back after. What are we playing? Oh, Disturbance.
A message from our sponsor.
Disturbance.
Disturb the sound
Welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It's October 16th, 2018. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva. And we've been just having a conversation about current events. Let's call it current events. And one of the current events things that's happening is that, yes, Walt, I've managed to go and lose another friend over the Trump thing. I don't think Cindy will ever talk to me again. Are you there? Do I have
which you? Cindy? You have so many.
I know. My friend Cindy. Because she doesn't. She thinks I'm crazy. She wants to think I'm crazy. And I'm like, I finally said to her, "Look, I think you're mind controlled because your reaction puts you in a state of so much angst and so much anger towards somebody you've never met, that's never done anything personally to you, you know? And it's like, because you ask him, well, what's he done personally bad to you? They don't listen to the fact that, well, we might be not going to get nuked from North Korea because of what Trump did. You can't talk anything logical to them, and their replies about certain things just don't make any sense. Like, okay. Well, what is it that you don't like about the man? Well, he's a liar. Okay. Well, has he lied about the economy? Yes. Okay, so the economy's not doing really well? Yes, it is. Well, how's he lying about it? Oh, because Obama did it. Everything that's good about the economy is because something Obama did. Okay, so I can't even imagine a president saying, hey, we got a really good economy here, but it's because of the guy before me that did it. I mean, even if it was true, why does that make him a liar? He's just a politician. So it's like their rationalization.
You're invested in a specific story.
Oh, my God, it's so bizarre. Anyway, so somebody sent me this. Okay, I'm going to read what it says. It's NPC mob, and I'm not sure what the NPC means. Gets deactivated and red-pilled. Well, just the fact that it's, you know, saying that made me like, oh, I've got to see this. And it was published on October 15th, yesterday, 2018, by Millennial Millie. And what it says, an angry liberal mob reciting chants gets broken from their cult-like hypnotic trance and red-pilled by Joel Patrick and InfoWars reporter Millie Weaver. So I know you, okay, I was going to post that. Let me post in chat in case you want to turn the volume. Well, it doesn't matter. You can hear this thing or see the pictures, you know, of who these people are by going there. Now I completely lost where I was. Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, so the the mob is black, white, Hispanic. I mean, everything seems to be there. And there's this Millie, the InfoWars reporter, who is, and it's cold, wherever they are, it's cold, and she's talking to this guy, and because I no longer have that up because I don't know, here it is, okay. So the guy she's talking to, Joel Patrick, is a young black man, and he's got a jacket on that says Trump, obviously a Trump supporter. And so I'm going to play this, it's like 13 minutes or so, but I just listened to the to what happens, because Walter, it's just classic American, if nothing else. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to play it right now.
The real question is, how long will they keep chanting, and at what point will curiosity set in, and will they actually listen to what he has to say? Why do you think that it's a good idea to go talk to these protesters?
I think more importantly than just what the people that are right immediately hearing us right now, it's the people that are going to watch it in the future. They're going to see, wait a minute, they're being calm and they're making clear facts. They're explaining their position, and the other people are trying to shout them down, or they're just completely devoid of logic. And I think this is how we're going to educate my generation, the younger people, about the dangers of socialism and the importance of capitalism and conservatism and why we hold the values that we do.
You know, it's important to do the research, because I've noticed what the problem is a lot of these protesters out there literally just have been reading and getting misinformation that makes them believe that Trump supporters are racist, bigoted fascists. So the real issue here is education and people taking the red pill, essentially. We need to help people get the red pill.
Let's go educate some liberals.
I'm not tolerant of you.
Thank you. No talk. No KKK, no fascist USA. No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA.
No justice. No justice.
No peace.
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 No justice.
The real question is, how long will they keep chanting, and at what point will curiosity set in, and will they actually listen to what he has to say?
Last question. Last question. Do Black Lives Matter?
Black Lives do matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Can we discuss that?
Fascists, go home.
If you want a discussion, go home.
Hey, Black Lives Matter.
It doesn't have to be a group discussion.
You're trusting people.
Do Black Lives Matter?
It doesn't have to be a group discussion.
Do Black Lives Matter?
Your president doesn't believe in what we do.
Do black opinions matter? Because you guys don't want to hear my opinion.
You all came over here. Y'all were not.
It doesn't matter. When we were fascists,
go home.
Okay, well, let's have a discussion, okay? What is a fascist?
Fascists, go home.
We're not fascists.
Fascists, go home.
What is a fascist?
Fascists, go home. Fascists, go home.
Educate yourself.
Fascists, go home.
Fascists, she fell behind. She fell behind the beat.
Maybe we should, fascists go home! 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 Fascists go home!
All right, fascists go home!
Fascists go home.
Did you know that?
Fascists go home. Fascists.
Did you know I hate fascism?
Yes, I do.
I hate fascism.
I hate fascism too. Fascists.
Did you know I hate racism?
I hate racism too. We all hate racism. I don't know. What are they looking at?
Looks like.
This is what democracy looks
they turn their backs.
They both had the same idea.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home.
All right.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home.
Commies go home.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home.
Everybody, he's a racist.
Fascists go home.
Racists go home. Racists go home. Fascists go home.
He called me a racist, and then when I asked him why I'm a racist, he turned around.
Let's say, fascists go home. What are we looking at?
We're not sure what we're looking at.
What are we looking at?
That building's a fascist. You guys don't see it.
That building is a fascist.
Fascist building.
Fascists are going home.
Oh, my God. They're going home.
Fascists are going home.
Yeah, the fascists are going home. Oh, my gosh.
Get out of here, you fascists.
Are the fascists going home? Fascists go home.
Let's go.
circle.
They're going home. Oh my gosh.
Let's go.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home. Yeah.
Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news.
Fascists go home.
Fake news.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home. All right, where are you guys going?
InfoWars is fake news. Go fuck yourself.
Are you going home?
Let's go.
You too. You
too.
This is really confusing. What is happening right now?
If they're not news, why are you calling them fake news?
Wait. Are they saying I need to get a real job because I'm on welfare?
I don't know. Get a real job.
Is it because I'm black? They want me to get a real job.
Get a real job.
What job do you advise?
What job?
What job?
Any of this bullshit. You fucking fascist.
Wait, are you calling her a fascist or me a fascist?
Maybe they're talking about how many job opportunities that Trump has created. There's all these job opportunities.
The record lack unemployment.
Yes.
I love low unemployment.
Yes. Go home, fascist. No,
fascist?
No, go home, fascist.
Am I a fascist?
We're not fascist.
We actually support.
We're pushing them back.
Oh my God! Wow, they're running away. This is.
I don't know what they're doing, but I'm super confused.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home.
Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home. Fascists go home! Fascists go home!
I think we've cracked the code.
I don't know. They keep acting strange.
I'm confused. They're going home after we chanted back at them, fascists go home, because we're not fascists, you know. All of a sudden, the ones who go home are the ones that were chanting fascists go home in the first place. The leftist protesters, the anti-Trump protesters, are now the ones that are going home. After we chanted back, fascists go home, they just decided, okay, well, we should go home now. It's really bizarre.
So what if you're black and you support Trump?
Not engage.
What do you do if you're black and support Trump? Does that not make any sense? How come you don't let them talk?
We can talk, I just choose not to.
But you're talking now.
I choose to answer your question, I guess.
Okay. Do you think I'm a racist?
I don't know you.
Do I look like a racist?
I don't know what a racist looks like. It's what's inside.
Do I look like a fascist?
That's also inside.
No, I think it would be kind of evident if I was a fascist.
We are trying to leave. So stop parading around and trying to antagonize us. We're
you
trying to go home.
Stop protesting your protest? So,
thank you.
You don't want us to protest your protest because you're protesting and parading around antagonizing. Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. Sir, I'm Joel Patrick. Nice to meet
Hello.
You.
Hello. Nice to meet
I'm
you.
I'm from
too.
Ohio.
Okay, cool. I'm from here in Richmond.
Okay. Let me ask you something. What does your sign say?
It says, I was not paid to be here.
That's good. So you were not paid to be here?
No, I was not.
That's awesome. So you came here of your own free will?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So did I.
Yeah. And, you know, as the people were saying earlier, this is what democracy looks like.
Mm-hmm. So do you hate gay people?
No.
You know what's interesting? I don't hate them either.
Yeah, I know. I don't like how a lot of people on this side have been just sort of strawmanning all Trump people. There are various levels, and just because someone supports Trump doesn't mean they support everything Trump did.
But did it ever occur to any of them that perhaps Trump is not a fascist?
I would not exactly call... Okay, this is not going to go well with a lot of my allies here, but I wouldn't exactly call him a full-on fascist. He has some fascist qualities, which I do not like. Like the way he sort of makes fun of all news except Fox and a few others.
Yeah!
Fake news! Fake news! Fake news! Fake news! Fake news!
Fake
news! Fake news!
Do you know who brought about Jim Crow?
The Democrats.
Did you know Jim Crow was back then?
They still are.
What makes you think that?
Yeah. Okay, do you know that Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar? Cecil Rhodes, that's a
a fund from Cecil Rhodes, which is the head of South Africa, the slave state of South Africa.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
if you don't go along with the slave state of Cecil Rhodes, you don't get that Rhodes Scholarship.
Yeah,
look it up.
I think it's interesting people say that the party switched, and they often reference Lyndon B. Johnson and how he was pro-black, and that's proof that the party switched. But Lyndon B. Johnson, do you know what he actually said?
He was the sort of a Dixiecrat at first.
He was a big-time racist. He said if we can keep those N-words on welfare, we'll have them voting Democrat for the next 100 years. And look what happened. He kept those N-words on welfare, and we're voting Democrat for the next 100 years.
See, you guys are saying a lot of true things, but there is some more true things, too, about both sides.
So what about Margaret Sanger, the woman who founded Planned Parenthood, and how she was racist? She was extremely... Go ahead, tell them what she said.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger said black people are like human weeds and must be exterminated.
And that Planned Parenthood targets African-American neighborhoods for their facilities, and the largest amount of babies that have been aborted are African-Americans. Do you think that that's not systematic?
900 black babies a day are murdered by Planned Parenthood. Is that not racist?
No, it's not racist.
So murdering black babies is not racist?
It's not murder. It's their cells.
But Planned Parenthood targeting
so
black babies.
Killing black babies is not racist.
You know what? Can someone else help me here?
Why do you need help?
Because you guys have prepared for this.
Right, exactly.
You should help.
Right.
You have a sign.
Yeah. We've just done research.
I don't have a sign.
You got a sign, too.
Did you?
Can anyone else tell us how Planned Parenthood isn't racist? How Planned Parenthood targeting black neighborhoods isn't racist? How Margaret Sanger saying those things and then targeting black neighborhoods?
And like a lot of people haven't had needed to have abortions because Planned Parenthood has helped them get like birth control and all that.
But I mean, what about her comments literally that they created it to lower the black population?
Did you know what the original name of Planned Parenthood was? Anybody? It was called the Negro Project.
Oh. Yeah, InfoWars.
How racist is that?
And it's eugenics.
Yes.
What is it?
Are you ready for this?
What is it?
It's the StopBlackGenocide.com. It carefully documents every bit of racism that this organization is engaged in, and it's engaged in a lot.
So, what'd you think, Walt?
Well, I put my thoughts in the chat. I was reminded of the verbal battle between Duffy and Bugs when Elmer is trying to hunt one of them, and it's rabbit season, and then Duffy goes, Bugs is going, it's duck season, and Duffy goes, no, it isn't, it's rabbit season, and they keep, you know, are repeating back and forth, and then at one point, Bugs trips him by saying, no, it's not, it's rabbit season. And Daffy goes, no, it isn't, it's duck season. So Elmer shoots Daffy. You know, they started joining in the chant, and that's that's how these people started. It's so absurd. It's like making bird calls and having birds respond to your bird calls. It's so... robot mentality thing, it's so silly. You know, people are repeating something and they have no idea what they're repeating or why they're repeating it. It just sounds good.
Well,
it feels good being part of the crowd, I guess.
The whole thing about, I mean, it was just absolutely, to me, a perfect situation, right? These people are yelling, you know, go home fascist, and these two reporter and this young man said, well, we're not fascists. We want them to go home, too. So they all start chanting the same thing. And you should have seen it. It was like all of a sudden, I mean, you could hear the reporter get, you know, having a, like, what's just happened, you know, to Millie? And they had turned their backs, and they just all in unison, like a zombie crowd, started walking away. You know, there wasn't any indication that anybody gave them the order to do that. It was really spooky. But, you know, fascists
this has
go
been
home.
Exploited forever. This crowd, this herd mentality has been exploited by every controller out there. I mean, it doesn't matter what continent, what year, what culture, what language. They've exploited this so well. People's inability to think by themselves. I just want to be part of the crowd. This is my crowd.
Well, when you watch it, you'll see that initially there are two women, one looking black and one looking more Hispanic, I would say, because they were all bundled up, too. But there were two women that were in the front of the crowd, actually had turned around towards the crowd to get them to chant whatever it was. So there were people trying to, orchestrate what was happening, basically. And, of course, you do have the camera there, But it was, I'm watching this thing and I'm going, this is getting crazier and crazier. But they just turned around and walked away. And it was like, this song that I play often, I don't remember which one, but it says, "So strong you don't have to fight to win." And that's what I see in this particular snapshot is that if you could get these people to try to debate you in a logical debate setting, they could not debate against you because everything that they think they know is not true.
And Dr. Costa speaks of this mentality in this book. What is it? Primal Science, was it? I forget the title of the book. He documents something that happened in Africa, I don't know how long ago. There was a massacre of two tribes. It was if my memory serves, it was something the Hutus or the Hutsis, something like this, where one tribe literally massacred another tribe because there was some disagreement or some grudge. And it just took them over. It was like a contagion going through. It was a consciousness thing. The violence of two individuals actually propelled the others. It was like a mass consciousness thing. So they did it because everyone was infected by this drive. It was not a conscious thing. It's not like I'm killing this person that is totally unknown to me. No, I'm doing it because my group is doing it to that other group. So, and I'm a member of this group. So it just takes over. And that's how two tribes massacred each other. It was I forget what year this was, but it was documented in his book.
Are you talking about the Civil War?
I don't. That's what I'm trying to. I'm going to look up.
No, I'm talking about the American Civil War. I mean,
no,
we. I know. I know. I'm being facetious, but think about it.
Oh yeah.
You know, we killed more Americans in that war than all the wars added together, I think. It was a horrendous brothers against brothers. I mean, it was just like
this
ridiculous.
Was, here it is, in 1994. It was in Rwanda. An estimated 500,000 to 1 million were killed during a 100-day period from April 7th to mid-July. Consuming as many as 70% of the Tutsi population. And he said it was a consciousness thing. The consciousness was taken over by the group.
But he didn't indicate that there was any extra help there?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was. We know how these different groups, people claimed, like Wilcock claimed, how the reptilians feed on Delouche and the fruits of violence. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was something there. But it goes to explain the lynch mob mentality. Because the lynch mob mentality follows no rationale. You know that. No logic.
Well, yeah, this lynch mentality is what's got me a little bit unnerved here. No wonder they're waiting. No wonder they're trying so hard to make sure that they've got all their ducks in orders. Because, I mean, I just don't understand this. It's like we've had a breakdown in a good portion of the population that are seeing a they want to keep a reality. They won't listen to us. You know, it's like, yes, things are bad, but we're going to make them better. They don't care. They know it's bad, but they don't even care to hear about a possible solution.
And the thing is that they know it's bad at an intellectual level, but they have no notion of it. I mean, I think I gave this example one time when I was going to technical high school in Argentina. There was one classmate that drove me insane because between each class, you know, every time you get, you know, the break between classes, all he would talk about is the Second World War and the Germans did this and the Americans did this. Like, it was the only thing in his consciousness. And one of our other classmates, his father had been a soldier in the Second World War. The man was a civilian, and he was a paratrooper for the Italian forces. Once the war was over, he immigrated to Argentina, and that's where he met his wife and a local woman. So the man was an immigrant in the country. And I thank God that Alessandro had told me the story of his father, because I actually used that man as an example to get this other classmate to shut up for once. And his name is Horace, or Horacio. And I got so fed up listening to the war for the millionth time. And I said, you know why you're so obsessed with the war and talking about it and this book and that book and this character and that general and all that? Because you never lived it. You never had to be there, not even for 1 hour. I said, look at Alessandro's father. He was a paratrooper in the war. And to this day, and the man was already, I think, in his late 50s, to this day, his own family, his own children that he has fathered, cannot get the man to talk about the war. Never. They never got a word out of it. In all the years that Alessandro knew his father, the only thing that ever came out of his mouth about the war was some kind of funny anecdote of something that happened with him and a friend of his when they were in Switzerland, and that's about it. The rest, he was a complete clam about it. He would say nothing because whatever he lived in, it was so horrific. It wasn't something that he wanted to share with the people that he loved. And I used him to shut him up. And fortunately for the rest of the night, he did shut up and didn't say anything else. So they have these intellectual notion, yeah, it's bad, but I'm okay, I'm comfortable. It's not happening to me. Yeah, it's bad, it's not happening to me. You know, I don't need to think about that if the bees die, I'm going to starve. No, I can go down to the store and buy some food. It's not happening to me. So they're not getting it. It's all an intellectual thing. It's an intellectual concept. They think that the reality is whatever they believe it is, and I'm super comfortable. Why do you need to change anything? I have a job, I have a wife, I have kids, I have a house, I have a dog. Why do we need to fix anything? My life is perfect. Leave me the heck alone. Go fight your whatever it is that you're fighting over there. I mean, that's what I think is what you're encountering, that attitude. Well, why should I care? It's not happening to me.
I know, but see, and I said this a little bit ago, is that maybe what's happening is the concept of reality is what you think it is. They actually think that Mr. Trump is this awful, awful being. And that's a reality. That's who he is in their reality. Now, we've got this other reality that say, well, no, not necessarily. You know, the economy's doing great. And, yes, maybe certain things Obama put into action facilitated that. No, you know, I'm not going to dispute that. But the fact that Mr. Trump would be smart enough to keep the stuff that worked, you know, well, I'd take credit for it if I was him, too. The fact that he has spent money on cleaning up the oceans with all this plastic and done other things that are relative to ecological benefits that doesn't get any press. The fact that he is forcing the drug companies to eliminate a gag order to pharmacies that kept the pharmacies from telling their customers, well, if you get this generic of this particular one, you're going to save a lot of money. So that every, because, you know, Mr. Trump's statement on it was, this isn't fair. People should know they can get something cheaper. You know, so if you look at all of the, he's done more, he's passed more regulations and taken more actions than anybody since Ronald Reagan, and he's actually doing more than Reagan did in a shorter period of time. So there's like 289 that they've got listed things that Mr. Trump has done that is very positive for everybody. Yeah, there's things that irritate him, like when he signed, you know, got on the side of the pipeline and stuff. But you gotta choose which battles you're gonna fight. And some battles are just going to take an enormous amount of resources and distract everybody from what is essentially a game plan that's been planned for long before Mr. Trump got
here. Well, isn't that what you do in a difficult test when you're doing SATs or some other difficult testing? Even the teachers tell you, focus on the questions you can answer right away and leave the hard ones for the end. When you have
exactly
so that. That's what you're doing. I mean, you have to gauge these things. Okay, this one, we can get rid of this in a week. That's going to take a couple of years. So that's what you're doing. You're using your energy the best possible way. The other thing that I would offer for your consideration, this is just my own impression, is that another thing that you're witnessing with groups like this, remember, we've been under the thumb of the cabal for centuries by now, and I wouldn't be surprised that you're looking at something along the lines of not an individual, but a collective level form of Stockholm syndrome, the thing that hostages develop, you know, that condition where a hostage develops an affinity for the captor. They might even get intimate, depending on what is the kidnapping situation, where the victim actually ends up defending their captor. It is, you know, it's a legitimate psychological condition, and you could be looking at this. I've how many times have I seen this at the individual level? People in the most toxic relationships, whether it's the woman that's suffering no end or the man that's suffering no end, and you try to speak to them and understand, you know, why are you doing this to yourself? What do you get out of, you know, you don't have any children, you don't have any money in common, you own your own home, why do you have to? And the answer is always the same. Better or worse than nothing. You know, at least I have this company. It doesn't matter if this company is going to kill me one day because he's treating me like a ditch rag, but at least I have something, and I am not going to end up alone like my cousin Betty, who divorced and never found anybody else. This is the kind of reasoning. These are the kind of words I get to hear. And that's that. So it's like a Stockholm syndrome. You know, you're loving your captor. You know, the cabal is kidnapping and eating your children, but you still think that they're better than nothing. That's another thing we have to wake up from, you know?
Well, you know, it's a sense of knowing, too. And I think a lot of people just settle. You know, I think that we're the type of people that don't settle. Because that's not any fun. You know, there's more. So we're looking for more, but they settle.
Yeah. Did you mute yourself again?
No, I just stopped talking. I know it's hardly ever do that, but no, I found that clip to be very telling, very interesting. So Dolly finds herself in with no cell phone service here. Why would, if she doesn't have cell phone, why is that going to affect her Skype if she's using her computer?
Yeah, she's listening to the show. So if she's listening to the show, then the internet works. Therefore, Skype works.
Yeah.
Skype isn't using the cellular network. It's using the internet connection.
Right. So, Dolly, you should be fine. You should have Skype up if you want, if you're still awake after this show or you want to get with me, I can check you out.
Well, if she's got Skype on, we should be able to look at her status, or her Skype status.
Well, that's true.
Let's see. Dolly.
Nope.
But I don't know if it's on.
Oh, we don't know if she's got Skype up, yeah.
So I hope she's dropping to the show and, right, and listening.
Right.
I cannot find Skype. Well, there's a problem. Instead of looking for regular Skype, you're looking for frigging Skype.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Dolly.
Maybe it's under the covers. Under the cover of night. I cannot find Skype. Can't you do a program search? Just type in the Cortana search box the word Skype.
I wonder if they've got her on the new computer. It's probably that new computer.
Well, if it's a brand new computer, then Skype would be bundled, because since Microsoft bought Skype, it's actually part of the program.
Yeah. Anyway, so what else has been happening? What would you like? Did you see anything interesting in YouTube and stuff? I mean, YouTube,
well,
Facebook.
Did you ever get a chance to see that movie I told you about, The Nines?
No.
With Ryan Reynolds? Oh, that's a movie worth talking about.
Okay, well.
But I'm not going to ruin it for you, because you're going to.
No. I'm pulling up my notes here. What's the name of it?
The Nines, with Ryan Reynolds, Hope Davis, and Melinda McCartney. She's or McCarthy.
Ryan
Reynolds, the actor.
Okay. And you can get it where?
Amazon Prime. You have Amazon Prime.
All right. Yeah, I haven't been looking at anything like that lately.
And the other one was the one called Zoe. With Ewan McGregor. Those two are really good. Make you think a lot.
Well, okay. So, is there anything you want to say about those? Just,
well, no, because you haven't seen them, so I don't want to ruin the punchline for you.
Okay. All right. All right. We're just talking about them. I was thinking about this. You haven't been doing. When I first got with Walt, he would do shamanic journeys for people, and he had to give it up because it was just we were keeping him too busy. But do you do any of it anymore, or is it just not happening?
No, I don't do not for myself, since I use dowsing to ask questions. I mean, that would be the only reason. The only time I have done for myself a shamanic journey is to visit my power animals, because that's a good thing to do, since the power animal is the one responsible for keeping your body healthy and strong. It's good to spend time with them and to let them know that they're loved and appreciated. So that's the only thing I've done for myself. If I have questions for my guys, I just use dowsing, because that's what it's for. Dowsing is a way to bypass the veil that doesn't let you see the other side. But there are people that don't get that. It doesn't matter how many times I describe that it's not a mental thing, you don't need psychic powers. Someone writes, oh, I'm guessing psychics are far better at dowsing than regular people. No, if you're saying that, then you haven't understood anything I've said. So it's one of those things that, like, people don't get it, that all your body cells are aware and connected to intelligent infinity. It's not a concept that's readily understood. So they think that dowsing is, you need to have a clear head, or you need to do this. No, it's your body that's dowsing. And if you're in an intense emotional state or distress, don't douse, because your emotional energy is affecting your body cells. Therefore, your instrument of detection is not in order. It's like, remember the phone? the old phone cabinets on the street, the old phone booths, when there would be a sign out of order. Well, that's you. If you want to douse and you're in a stressful emotional state, don't douse, because your instrument is not okay. It's been interfered with. Once you calm down, you can go back to douse all you want.
Well, that you know, the concept, well, it goes back to neurology. It's we're energy bodies, and if you can tune in to certain people can tune in without using the dowsing. They just tune into the frequency, they pull it up, and most people are that's an iffy way of doing it, because unless you're really, really on top of where you're feeling and what you're doing, you can be getting signals that you think are the correct signals and they're not. But with dowsing, the pendulum itself is neutral. It's not doing any thinking. So you get a clearer message from, like Walz is talking about, not from your mind, but from your entire energetic body. Because that's
connected to intelligent infinity.
Exactly.
It's connected to the knowledge of the universe.
Right, right.
So, you know, what teaches an apple tree to produce an apple as opposed to a pear? That's information. That's data. It's got to come from someplace, right? What teaches the bee to make a hive? That's data. That's information. It's got to come from somewhere. And the bee doesn't have a complex brain system, nervous system like we do. So it's coming from someplace. It's coming from the universe, and they're connected to it. They're connected to the universe. But it's a difficult concept, because for humans, they're still going through life as individual units of something. I'm an individual unit, and you're an individual unit, and there's nothing between us connecting us. There is no collective anything. And that's why there's no empathy, because you think that you are isolated from everybody, disconnected from everybody. So what happens to somebody else has nothing to do with you, and so on and so forth. So that whole belief structure gets in the way of a lot of accessing a lot of your own powers.
And you know what else, Walt? We've got the situation of, if we're right about what we're saying now, that the body is attached and knows much, much more than, you know, even we know in our own brain. What advantage would a transhumanism body have? You'd have none of that. You know what I'm saying?
Going backwards.
It's like, wow, you know, as you were going through explaining that, I'm going like, well, that's the answer that I asked last week. You know, it's like, how can you know, what is it that you have to tell somebody? Well, if you're connected to the universe through your biological organic system, can you get that connection in a man-made or robot AI-made in the future system? You know, and I wouldn't think so. But what do I know?
Well, it's the old... I wouldn't put it past them that this is the same thing as imagine that you're living in a property and you have a natural river coming through your property, but you don't know that it's there because the vegetation doesn't let you see it, and you know you need water in your house. And one day somebody comes up and says, you know, I can sell you water for so much money a month. And you say, oh, that's great, but what a fantastic idea. I will buy it. How much water, you know? Oh, well, just run a pipe here, and you turn this, and you get water and whenever you want. And all you have to do is pay me $100 a month. Oh, okay. I really do need water in my house, so here's the money. And it turns out that he just put a pump on that's flowing through your property. It's the same concept. With this business of the veil that doesn't let you see the other side, you're being duped into paying for something that's already yours. You know, they're trying to get you to, you know, forget that you have this body that's connected to intelligent infinity. Oh, we have something better. In the meantime, they're, you know, that exploits your consciousness. They're exploiting your consciousness to build this reality of artificial bodies, because there's this notion that it's artificial. It's got to be better, right? Because organic is so very bad.
here?
Well, it's on your phone.
Like,
phone? Okay. Oh, we have a guest.
Yeah, she said she was up, so I just called her. I didn't know she's gonna make it or not. Hi there, Dolly. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Well, I'm this Sherry. It's on my phone.
Oh, oh.
I don't know how to make it in my.
You gotta turn off your
freaking laptop.
Join call.
Join call.
That's that weird that's thing that. When people.
Now am.
No, you.
Am I on?
If you're on your phone, okay.
Oh, get off of the phone, Sherry.
Hold on.
Are you on both of them now?
Walter, I'm on both of them. Hold on.
Walter, do you know what's happening?
Are you?
Okay. Now am I on one?
Hold on.
Walter, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me.
All right. I'm talking. No, Sherry thinks she hung me up. Give me that phone.
No, you're
please.
Here. You're here. No, you're here. You're here.
Oh.
You're here. Are you on the laptop?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I was listening to it. I don't know how to get where I can turn the radio off.
You're fine right now. We can hear you fine.
Yeah, but Sherry, how do I get to the internet to turn her off? See, here I have to turn this radio off.
Just close the browser. Oh. That's all it is.
Walt, I couldn't find the frickin' browser. You don't.
You mean there's no bar? There's no taskbar at the bottom of the screen?
Russell, no. Walt, I don't know what the heck I'm doing on here, and I'm very frustrated because I can't use my phone at all in Cherry's house, and I can't understand this laptop. Sherry just got me into it like 7:20, and I couldn't find Skype, and then I found Skype, but now I don't know how to hook it on to
you are on Skype. You're talking to us, aren't you?
Yeah, but now I don't know where Skype went because I'm seeing the... Oh, there you are. Hold on. I can't get it open. How do I make Skype on the pin to the bottom bar? Sherry, help me. I can't open this. Please. See, here's the Skype thing. How do I make it open up? I hit on it.
We could have probably done this after the show, but I just say, well, we didn't have much to talk about. We'll just bring Dolly in here. And
yeah. Now you can tell how easily an AI would take over Dolly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try.
Or AI. It's not going to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
AI 0, Dolly 100.
Oh my gosh. And I'm sitting in the living room where everybody is and the TV's on. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
We only hear your voice.
Good. Okay.
I can only hear your voice.
Because Sherry got the meatloaf and taters out of the oven. And this house is really sweet. The biggest drawback is you can't use your cell phone in the house.
I was telling Walt about that earlier.
Well, it's a military house, so that way they don't have any secrets.
No, we're not on base anymore. We're in Orlando in Winter Garden, actually, where they built their new house. And when they built it, they put in this insulation where no one can use their cell phones in their house out here. And now, since Cherry and Shannon's house was built, they aren't putting that insulation in anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the insulation in the
house. So they can never be victims of electronic surveillance. That's neat.
Walt says, so you can never be victims of
electronic surveillance.
Electronic surveillance. Yeah, and we can never contact 911. They're worrying about that because of me.
So you're set up there and comfortable? Everything is, you know, it's a nice house?
nice house.
Are you missing the cats?
No.
What, you got rid of the cats?
No, they're at home with Annette.
Oh.
She's at Sherry's house.
I'm at Sherry and Shannon's. I'm spending 2 weeks here at Sherry and Shannon's.
Oh.
Yeah.
What does Annette think about that?
They built a bedroom for me, and so we've got the curtains up. Sherry did that, and the new bed was delivered yesterday, so I slept in that last night. I got Shannon a Christmas present early, which is a 43-inch TV that he's hanging on the wall right now, and it's really sweet setup.
Is he putting it on your wall?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
I know.
So how is it his present?
Because it's in his house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did you get an angel permit so that you can bring angels into the house or what? They're not even allowed.
Well, they always are with me, Walt, so I didn't even think to ask them in, but I've been using them all day.
Oh.
Sherry always said, this is the first day the boys started school, and it was one heck of a day for them. They found out that three quarters of the school students and personnel speak Spanish. The teachers teach in Spanish for the Spanish students. It's in the middle of Orlando, and so the boys are kind of shaken up because they can't understand people.
So maybe they should move to the U.S. I hear they speak English there.
Yeah, you would think so. It's been quite the day.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I don't know how to, if I'll ever find Skype again, but if I do, I'll let you know that I found it.
Too bad you don't have TeamViewer there, because I could help you right now.
Well,
she's had a long day.
Yeah. I can't do it today, Russell. I keep wanting to call you Russell, Walt. I can't handle it.
You can
today.
Call me an emergency Russell in case you run out of the other Russell.
Yeah, I can't.
I'll call my emergency Russell.
Do they have a pool there?
Well, a community pool. It's like a resort style.
So do you miss your pool?
I haven't seen the pool yet.
Well, but you're missing your own pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And Annette is happy that she gets a break from you?
Yeah.
So it's party every night for Annette.
Well, I can't even talk with her because I don't know how to talk to her. Can't use a cell phone, and they don't have a landline, so we're kind of in.
But you can use Skype to call the house phone or Annette's cell phone. You can use Skype for that. As long as you have Skype on the computer, that's all you need.
Really? Will they charge me? They won't charge me for that?
It's very little.
I don't want to pay.
Oh, okay.
I don't have that kind of money where I can just frivolously throw it away on a phone call through Skype.
Even if it's to your own flesh and blood, huh?
Yes, yes.
You're incorrigible.
I'll have to go stand out in the street and see if I can use my cell phone.
Make sure you put a cup next to the thing so that people will throw coins in it.
Yeah. Well, other people are standing out there trying to use their phones. It's in the whole place. Well, every house they've built is like this.
So it's an EMF fortress.
Tell him what? The insulation. The insulation. The whole sheet of the insulation is in metal.
Yeah, it's aluminum.
He says, yeah, it's aluminum. He understands this stuff. Walt is the smartest person in the world. Yeah.
I play one in the radio.
Well, not anymore, because we're going to sign off. We've been on this show for 2 hours. Dolly, I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
And we'll connect. You let me know when you're up, and we can make sure that I'm assuming you're probably going to do the Dolly Reads for you.
Yeah, I brought the book.
Good, good.
And the angel cards.
Good. And I got your Dolly shares, so that's good, too. All right. Thank you both for being here. Well, thank you, Walt.
I got to tell you, I feel so much better hearing your voices and talking to you.
Well, there you go. And there you go. At least you know you've got an outside hand to the internet and us.
Yes. Yes. All right. There are people outside this house. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Walt. Thank you. And to our audience, be blessed, be safe. We'll see you next time. Appreciate y'all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Haggy Shack Radio and simulcast over Cosmic Reality Radio. Horizons.